You are listening to your extended news at noon. A pleasant good afternoon, friends. I'm Tyler Friel with you on WISR 680 AM. Today is Monday, October 12th, 2020. And over the next 2 weeks, the extended news at noon will be talking with local candidates involved in races for this year's upcoming election. We'll be taking a look at House races, congressional races, and state Senate races. And our interview today will focus on the 8th Legislative District, which features the current incumbent Republican Tim Bonner and the challenger Democrat Phil Heasley. And we will start the interview off with Phil Heasley, who joins us now via telephone. Phil, thanks for taking the time and welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Tyler. Thank you for having me.
So, Phil, I want to start off with this. You have run for political office before. You are running again. What are the big goals that you would hope to accomplish if you were to go to Harrisburg?
That's right. As you said, I have run before. It seems like one giant campaign, actually, since I did start running for this in the special election for this open seat whenever me and Mr. Bonner were both running to fill Ted Nesbitt's empty seat. So it's been quite an adventure, and my number one priority this entire time has been to go to Harrisburg to be a voice for every resident of this district, not just some that are packed into certain areas due to the gerrymandering situation we have in the 8th District.
And you mentioned how the 8th District is drawn, and I'm guessing from your answer there that you disagree with how these districts are drawn. What would you do to change that?
Yeah, gerrymandering is one of the biggest reasons that I jumped into this race. I've lived in the 8th District my entire life through multiple gerrymanders, and it's always been quite interesting to me how these districts are drawn. And if you would take a map of my district and show it to anybody from grade school up, they'd take a look at that map and say, something doesn't look right there, because it's actually the northern part of Butler County and then the whole eastern half of Mercer County, with the exclusion of Slippery Rock Township and Slippery Rock Borough. So it's actually punched right out like a donut hole, and that is to be an advantage for the opposing party.
And what would you do to change that? Because obviously that's the way it's done now. What major legislative moves could you do if you were to be elected to office to get that, and how would you like to see it fixed?
Sure. I work closely with the Fair Districts PA group, and what their main goal is, and mine, is to have a nonpartisan commission that is responsible for drawing these lines. And these lines, as some know, are drawn every 10 years, and they follow the census. So the census going on right now is crucial to what lines will be drawn next year for the who draws the lines depends on who is in control of the state legislature. And currently it's in control by the GOP, so the lines tend to go a little bit more towards the GOP side, but both parties are guilty of it. And I'm not going in there to try and draw myself an advantage. I'm going in there to make sure these districts are fair, because this is all about representing the people. And if some people have more an advantage than other people, then it's not fair representation in Harrisburg.
I want to now shift, as we are talking to Phil Heasley. He's the Democratic candidate for the 8th House District. I want to shift now to the coronavirus response. What would your, if you were to be elected, because we're still months away from a vaccine, there are still cases, the coronavirus has not gone away. What would be your goal? What would be your vision for how Pennsylvania should operate as coronavirus still continues? What should the state's response be here as we look forward to the future?
I'd like to say our legislators need to get back to working together, but they never started working together on this issue. So that's where we need to start. We need to put politics aside and just start moving forward to protect our constituents and our citizens. Right now, the legislature has been doing nothing to prepare the schools for reopening. It's just been pretty much a punt in Harrisburg. That we need to spend more time working together and less time suing people and pointing fingers. There's been multiple lawsuits pointed towards the governor for and then the health secretary for their responses to the virus, but they're just listening to science and data, and that's what we need to do. If we had a legislative branch full of scientists, that might be a different story. But we need to default to what the science is saying right now just to stay safe. In the 8th District, like I said earlier, it stretches pretty far up north. We actually have 9 different school districts within the 8th district, and there was no plan handed down from Harrisburg on how to reopen. They just punted to each individual school district. So that's 9 different plans that are going into effect in such a small area.
So you would rather see the state then get involved on a global level issuing how these school districts should be dealing with the coronavirus?
I do think that this should be coming down for a more unified response. If we have different areas doing different measures to stay safe, I mean, there's no invisible line between school districts. These are neighbors that live across the street from each other that might go to different schools. They're interacting, but their schools have different procedures about how they're going to interact. So there needs to be a more unified response to this.
There has
not been. Not just for the restrictions implied, but just for to keep people safe outside of school as well, too.
There's obviously been economic impact from the coronavirus shutdowns, a lot of small businesses hurting financially. The argument is, hey, we need to get back to business because our livelihoods are at risk here. What do you think the legislature's role is in helping these small businesses recover? And what would be the game plan then to navigate, as you say, the scientists, the public health measures, but also making sure people have the economic safety that they need to have moving forward?
Sure. As a small business owner, I've been dealing with the coronavirus firsthand. I operate Butler Gymnastics Club on 68, and we have over 300 families that come in and out of here with children from ages 3.5 all the way up to 18. And we have to make sure that they stay safe. And as a small business, I agree 100%. We can't stay closed. We were closed for 5 months, and that hurts economically for sure. But if we don't follow the measures that the scientists and the data is telling us to follow, then we're going to be right back in the position we were for the past 6 months, where we can't make any money at all. Right now, we've had to change literally every procedure we have in the building just to accommodate keeping people safe, keeping people separate from each other, making sure people aren't spreading the virus within our walls so that we have to be economically impacted again. And that's something that they'll take back to school, because in my business, we don't just have one school district here either. So we have people coming from other school districts interacting here, and if we don't keep them safe inside our walls, they're going to take that back to their schools, and then we're going to have a cluster problem.
One of the major problems facing the state legislature as a result of COVID-19 is the state budget. There is an expected $4.6 billion shortfall, between what the budget was projected out to be and what the budget realistically actually is. As you would, you know, if you were to be elected, what would be some of the things that you would need to do as a legislator to make sure you have a balanced budget? And is a balanced budget important to you?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. We can't be borrowing money that we don't have plans to pay back later. But I fully support what the governor and the lieutenant governor are doing with the recreational marijuana program. They want to earmark that money to send back to small businesses to help rebuild after this pandemic. And I agree with them. But this needs to be done with a heavy amount of scrutiny with it, because we've seen in other states that this can go rampant. And we've seen in our own state with the medical marijuana program, we have companies and institutions coming from out of state that are just investing their money here to open these shops, and then they're taking that money right back out of the state to where they're headquartered at. We need to make sure that whenever we do move forward with these new policies that would garner thousands, if not millions of dollars of tax revenue, we need to make sure that that money is helping Pennsylvania business people, small business people, to get in our Pennsylvania farmers. And that, just in projections alone, would be able to help us have a surplus in our budget.
Well, there still is, and you know, with recreational marijuana, there is expected tax revenue if it were to pass, and obviously help a little bit with the budget. But I don't think many experts have it coming and you know, equaling out that $4.6 billion shortfall. So essentially, you know, you're looking at some tough decisions of either raising taxes or cutting programs. Is there
Sure.
one way you would lean in terms of how you would be negotiating whenever you get to Harrisburg?
And I've always said that if the time where taxes do have to be raised, that is something that has to happen, but not on the working Pennsylvanian. Those taxes will come at the expense of companies such as Amazon, who are building warehouses along our 79-80 corridor that are bringing in thousands of dollars of revenue, millions of dollars of revenue for Amazon, and they're just getting away scot-free.
As we're talking with Phil Heasley, he's a Democratic candidate for the 8th Legislative District. Phil, want to talk about economic growth. There's a lot of people who look at Butler County and they see the southern parts of the county really expanding. They see the money that's being invested in infrastructure. They see new organizations, new buildings being built. They see school districts continuing to grow. Many people look at northern Butler County, and there is a bit of a different dynamic there. The population is not growing. There is not the excessive amounts of infrastructure investment that we see. What would your goals be as a House representative to bring economic growth to northern Butler County?
Yeah, and that's very important to me. And what our area is suffering from is what I call on the trail as an area brain drain. A lot of our youth are... Once they graduate, they're gone. They're not coming back because there's no opportunity for them here. They're going off to school, and then they're going to start their family where they can find work. We need to have jobs that are family-sustaining jobs here in Butler. We have our unions that are ready to bring on trade apprentices right now, and those are jobs that start with family-raising wages immediately after your apprenticeship's over. We have companies such as Iron Mountain that are building out, and we have commercial developments going in. This isn't it within my district, but it is northern Butler County due to the gerrymander. But in the Slippery Rock area, we have development booming up like crazy. And unfortunately, like I said, that's not in my representative district. But I would like that to spill over into our district. We need to bring more skilled labor jobs and higher education jobs so that we can end that brain drain, so that our youth can stay here and raise their family here. And then that'll keep our area growing and thriving into the future.
And people do hear, and you know, I haven't met a candidate who's opposed to job growth at all, but people talk about job growth, but they're wondering about maybe some of the policies that you have and ideas that you have to eliminate people from leaving, or what type of policies would you enact to make sure jobs do come? Because as you mentioned, you're willing to put the taxes on some of those corporations. There's a lot of people who would argue that lower taxes bring those companies in, which could then create some of those jobs.
Yes, there is that factor, but I'm talking about the corporations we have here and the national corporations. Of course, we can work with local corporations that want to do business as we do already, and we need to work on accentuating the most prized possessions that we have in our district is our state parks and some of our local small businesses, such as the wineries and breweries that we have. I have Cooper's Lake within my district. Cooper's Lake, unfortunately, had to take a big loss this year. But up until that last year, they were doing events that we haven't even seen in Butler County before. And we have more and more events that are popping up that bring thousands of people. We have music festivals. We have Jeep Fest. We have the Renaissance Festival. We have the First Responders event coming to Butler. These are all things that are bringing people to our district. And that's going to bring lots of tourism revenue, which our district desperately needs in the northern part.
We're talking with Phil Heasley. He's the Democratic candidate for the 8th House District. I want to talk a little bit about the election. Pennsylvania has been at the forefront of election laws and really on a national scale as well as a local scale. Are you confident in Pennsylvania's ability to pull off this election? And then B, are there any other election reforms that you would bring to the table if you were to be elected?
Sure. I do have confidence in our state and in our election officials. After talking with both Butler and Mercer counties, where my district falls in, have had new heads of elections this year. So that was a little worrisome, but after speaking to these individuals, they have everything 100% under control. We have the staff in place. They have their plans in place for election day for the increased amount of mail-in ballots that we're expecting. I feel 100% confident that they are ready. And as far as new plans, we do need to continue with our mail-in ballot system and make people understand that this is just a mail-in absentee ballot, that they're the same things. It's just a no-excuse mail-in absentee ballot. And if we could enter legislation where they could start opening the mail-in ballots the morning of and keep that as regular legislation and not just emergency pandemic legislation, I think that would help out in the future for sure, and then start opening a little bit earlier, then we wouldn't have to worry about any election night problems.
Want to talk about education as well, Phil, as Butler County is unique across Pennsylvania for housing a community college and four-year university. Again, we talk about the budget shortfall that the state is facing, and there are some concerns from those in education that possibly funding could be cut to higher education. The Pennsylvania State System of Higher Education saying as late as last week that they're looking at potentially cutting 350 faculty jobs, a majority of them on the western side of the state. What would be your goal and what's your vision for higher education in Butler County and across the state of Pennsylvania?
Sure. I saw your article this morning and had a chance to look over that. And it's fortunate that none of these faculty cuts will be happening at Slippery Rock University. It looks like most of them will be happening at Clarion, CalU, Edinburgh, and IUP. And as I went to Edinburgh myself, and that is sad to hear that we'll be losing some of our talented professors. But after reading the article, it prompted me to go and do a little research on what the attendance, the admissions has been at these universities over the past couple of years. And what I've seen at some of them is a very large fall in freshman attendance moving from freshman to sophomore. So we're seeing a lot of freshmen get admitted but not staying at the university. So if we can start figuring out what the freshman retention problems are and try and keep some of these kids in school, then we can make these numbers a little stronger. And some of these universities have overextended themselves amenity-wise. I know for a fact, Edinburgh has built large dormitories as they saw their numbers going down. But if we can help these universities retain their student populations, then that's going to be growth for the future, and these professors wouldn't have to go anywhere.
Do you think the state, and again, we've talked about the population issue on this side of the state, it's not growing. Do you think the state can actually handle the 14 state-sponsored universities that they have? Is it economically feasible?
I think that if we can set forth the right plan with the state and with the universities to work with their endowments, we can make this work. And as I was looking over the populations, each school, not a single school has a dipping population. It's just the freshman to sophomore classes dipping, and we need to figure out how to retain those students, and we wouldn't have this problem.
We're talking with Phil Heasley. He is the Democratic candidate for the 8th House District. Phil, last question that I have for you is the size of the legislature. Pennsylvania has one of the largest legislatures, especially when it comes to the House of Representatives, all who draw a nice salary, as I think most people would argue, as well as some nice benefits as well. Are you in favor of the current size of the legislature, or would you be in favor of possibly reducing it?
Sure, and I'm very happy that you are closing with this question, because it wraps right around to the beginning of the interview with gerrymandering. We do have the second largest legislature, second to New Hampshire, and New Hampshire has a large legislature because it's a voice of the people, and it's the same thing we have here in Pennsylvania. It's exactly why I said I'm running. What our legislators' purpose is to be the voice of their constituents every 2 years in Harrisburg. When you start limiting the size of the legislative, then you have the same thing as gerrymandering. You're starting to limit which groups of people have representation just because you're saying that the legislature is too big. It's just another form of gerrymandering in my mind.
He's Democrat Phil Heasley running for the 8th House District. Phil, we appreciate you taking the time.
Tyler, anytime. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Coming up on the other side of the commercial break, we'll talk with the incumbent for the 8th House District. That's Republican Tim Bonner. That's all coming up here on the Extended News at Noon on WISR 680 AM.